The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 172 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/shek. S-H-E-K. We're wrapping up day two from Lake Tahoe. Splendid weather. Although I did get torched by the sun. Wonderful stuff. Yesterday we talked to our on 171. You can look this up at NFL.com. We talked with our pal AJ Hawk. We talked with perennial All Pro Brian Urlacher. Just hung it up. He talked, had some really interesting things to say about the Chicago Bears. Talked to Jerome Bettis, Steelers icon, about the 2013 AFC North, and all that feels like it's long in the rearview mirror because, boy, we had a gangbusters day today. We talked with maybe the greatest analyst in sports today, Charles Barkley. Certainly the funniest. This chat was no exception. We talked about matzo balls, and I can't remember what else. We also talked to Trent Dilfer, QB guru. We really broke down some of the big QB stuff there. And, spoiler alert, he said many of the things that one Dave Dameshek has been saying on the podcast for the last 3 or 4 months. Isn't that true, Black Tie?
Well, it was a lot more detail, made a lot more
so
sense.
So what? No,
a lot
it
more
did.
Football.
What?
It was one of the few times that listened to this podcast that I was so impressed with actual football talk. It was captivating stuff.
You're a creep. I say plenty of insightful things week in, week out. You
about
just don't pay attention.
Yes.
Listen. You'll listen to Dilfer. You'll hear that he says a lot of the things that I've been saying since the season ended about the spread option and so on. Anywho, then we spoke with Joe Buck, one of the great play-by-play guys of the generation, baseball and football. We talked about he's going to be doing the Super Bowl for Fox this year, so we kibitzed about that. Really, I was fascinated. He mentioned some things about his legendary old man, Jack Buck, that I wasn't aware of. But, you know, he used to call football games as well as baseball games. So we yapped about this, that, and the other. We talked to John Fox, head coach of the Denver Broncos, about Peyton Manning, of course, and a couple other things. Who else, Black Tie? Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors.
One half of the Splash Brothers, yep.
All right, well, people knew who he was before you said the Splash Brothers thing. But all right, good note. That's fine.
I'm just saying.
All right, you're sprinkling in. See, that's adding some stuff to it, you know? Listen, it was a wonderful time. We discussed a full range of subjects. One thing we got into, Sharknado. I was surprised that a lot of these guys hadn't seen Sharknado, but I guess their lives are fuller than yours and mine. Also, we talked about action heroes.
No, wait, I haven't seen Sharknado.
You haven't?
I have not.
I didn't realize that.
I refused to just watch a terrible movie because that's what was cool. I didn't want to be part of the water cooler conversation about Sharknado the next day.
I forgot how cool you are. Now listen, so we talked about that. We talked about action heroes. Then we talked about, like you say, football, NBA basketball with Chaz Barkley and Steph Curry and a little bit of baseball in there with Joe Buck. This, that, and the other. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to not worry about hearing me flap my gums because I'm about to stop doing it. Except when I ask questions to the aforementioned big-time athletes and coaches and so on. We're going to do it right now. Let's start things off with the great Chaz Barkley. This is a real treat, of course. He needs no introduction here on the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Make sure you check us out on iTunes and at nfl.com/shek. Of course, it's NBA legend Charles Barkley. What's happening, fella?
Man, I'm doing good. I got separated my shoulder lifting weights and had to pull out the tournament, so that sucks, but I'm good.
That's terrible. The world isn't going to get those lessons of how to swing the club just right.
Hey, listen, I'm going to have to just watch the British Open just to get to see how it's really hit.
Yeah, but still not as good as you know. If once anybody sees your swing, though, it's burned into your brain. Though,
yeah,
right?
It's burned. Trust me, it's burned in mine too. Unfortunately,
like a nightmare. No, let's talk about NBA. Let's talk some football. And first of all, Dwight Howard, a few days back, says that he's a champion even without a ring. Now, of course, this is the big talk in the NFL, too. QBs, you know, Dan Marino doesn't have one, so he's not as good as Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? What's it mean? Does it at the end of the day, really, do you need to have the ring to be in that conversation for best ever?
I don't know how that works, but for me personally, I can only speak for myself. I would never let a sporting event dictate my life, to be honest with you. You know, listen, myself, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, our guys who have never won the championship, we didn't win it. That's something we have to deal with. But first of all, even if I won three or four, the notion that I would let a sporting event dictate my life's a life of success, that's just crazy. Listen, Dwight Howard is successful by any stretch of the imagination. Has he won a championship? No. But listen, I wouldn't mind trading places with him. And I'm sure there are guys who won championships who wouldn't mind trading places with me. But listen, I always thought that question was, it's a fair question, but it's a stupid question that's like an actor who never wins an Oscar. You tell them they're not successful, or some a lawyer. Let's just say you didn't make it to the Supreme Court. You're still successful.
Well, what do you think about now? Dwight Howard lands in Houston. I never thought he was coming back to L.A., but people indulged those pipe dreams that was going to wind up. But now he's with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. James Harden, all that. How say you? Will he get a ring there?
Well, they got a good team. They got a shot. He didn't have a shot with the Lakers. The Lakers just old and slow, so he wasn't going to win anything there. He made probably the best basketball decision. James Harden's terrific. Chandler Parsons is terrific. I like Omar Sheik. But he made the best basketball decision. And probably the second best team could have went to probably would have been the Golden State Warriors from a basketball standpoint. But he made a great basketball decision.
Yeah, they would have been scary if he hooked up with Steph Curry there and Klay Thompson and the rest there.
David
what about,
Lee.
Him. Yeah. What about what do you make, though, about now the latest pipe dream for Angelinos is that LeBron is going to move out there in a year? I don't see that one, do you?
Well, they're going to have a lot. They won't after this year, they don't have anybody. They won't be paying anybody. So I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what LeBron and Carmelo and those guys are going to do. But the Lakers are going to have plenty of cap space. They're obviously one of the great teams in NBA history. But like I say, the Lakers gonna have plenty of cap space. There ain't nobody on their payroll after next year.
I get the vibe that in the NFL, the QB is the man without question.
Yes.
He's the leader of the team. In the NBA, Kobe Bryant, I mean, with the Lakers specifically, Kobe Bryant is the man. It's all about it's my team. Is that going to spook guys like Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James? I mean, obviously he's in the twilight of his career, but it's still going to be
team if they come there. I mean, the team is belongs to the person who's the best player. You know, Kobe Bryant's one of the 10 greatest NBA players ever, but he's obviously past his prime. So if LeBron, listen, any team LeBron goes to, it's going to be his team. He's the best player in the NBA today. So I don't believe all that. That's just rhetoric, who team it is. That automatically goes to the best player.
And do you agree that you don't need to be in New York or L.A. anymore to be? Like when people say, oh, but LeBron wants to be a global icon. Mm-hmm. Do you need that anymore in the 21st century with Twitter and all the social media?
I think
and
that's
that stuff?
One thing that's really hurt the NBA talk like that. You know, I want Sacramento. I want Philadelphia. I mean, it's a big city. I want Indiana to do well. I want Milwaukee to do well. I don't want the NBA to become like baseball where you got like 10 good teams and 20 bad teams. I want those small market teams to be successful. The Spurs are the best organization in the NBA, and they're a small market.
Who's your NFL team?
I don't really have per se, because growing up in Alabama, we don't have any pro sports. But we rooted for the Falcons, and I root for the Eagles also, and I probably root for the Arizona Cardinals. But I don't per se have a favorite team, because growing up in Alabama, all we got is Alabama and Auburn football.
Wow.
In no particular order, I might add.
It's
Auburn football, then Alabama football.
Yeah, Bama maybe has more national championships, but they never had a player as good as Bo Jackson, so take that.
Oh, no question.
Right.
No question.
Talk about rooting. Sixers play the Suns for the NBA title. Who's Chaz Barkley rooting for?
Well, the way things are going, for me to envision the Sixers and the Suns playing for the championship, first of all, I'm going to have to sober up because – if I even thought that, people would have me drug tested. You know, I root for both.
Down the line. This is like 20 years away from now.
Way down the line. You know, I root for both of my old teams. The Rockets treated me tremendous. I'll always appreciate that. I couldn't play anymore when I got to Houston, to be realistic and honest. But I always root for the 76ers and the Phoenix Suns. And I feel bad the way both teams are going. They're trending. They're trending down.
Not trying to kiss your bum, but I'm sure you've heard this.
No, come on, I like that, though.
Do you like that? I've heard that from people before. Yeah, you never had your butt kissed. You don't like it.
Just like a little peck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're a handsome devil.
That's because I got all that money, man.
You ooze charisma.
Oh, thank you. Well,
you have a way with words.
Well, listen, man, I'm just blessed. I tell people, and that's never going to change. That's, unless you're a teacher, fireman, policeman, doctor, somebody in the armed service, you shouldn't take yourself that serious. I play a silly game called basketball. And listen, I love sports. Sports have given me every single thing in my life. But I'm never going to be an idiot to think that jocks are the greatest thing since sliced bread. We are very lucky and very talented to play a sport. We're blessed to make more money than we could ever deserve. But I don't take myself that serious. I played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man.
Yes.
And listen, I played basketball very well. But even when I was playing it well, I was like, dude, you're a basketball player. Don't ever get ahead of yourself.
Did you ever think, though, because you could have been a dynamite tight end or defensive end?
Yeah, but I'm not. Bama. But I'm not stupid.
Because you would have gotten hit.
They hit in football. Yeah. I played football one day. And then I realized, whoa, they really are hitting out here.
Yeah.
I tell people that story all the time. I played football one day, and I walked up to the coach, and I said, Coach, this ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I made a great decision. I actually think I had the talent to play football, to be honest with you, but I'm not sure. I played that one day, and it might have been bad coaching because they put me on the defensive line, because the offensive line and defensive line, they hit every single play. And it was zero fun whatsoever.
I always think that. Even when you play backyard football, there's always a guy who says, like, I'll be the offensive line. Why wants to do anything but be the QB?
No, it was like football. It was stupid. Like, the defensive linemen, the offensive linemen, they hit every single play. Quarterback don't get hit every play. Running back don't get hit every play. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver don't get hit every play. But the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen, I have great respect for.
All right, you say you don't like to take yourself too seriously because it's basketball, it's sports after all. Who does have to take themselves seriously are those action heroes in the movies because it's life and death for
no,
them.
No, stop it.
Now listen.
Stop it. Well, they got the movie, stunt doubles.
I'm not talking about the actors. I'm talking about the characters they're playing in those movies. When you watch movies, it's life and death. You've seen Predator. You saw what Schwarzenegger was up against, that monster. You know Jason Bourne, James Bond. I'm not talking about the actors. Talk about the characters. Who would win if all the action heroes got in a fight?
You know, I've never been asked that question before. Mm-hmm.
I ask hard-hitting questions. I'm not here to just talk about basketball and football.
Yeah.
Important questions.
Probably Superman.
He's a superhero. Yeah, he's made out of steel.
You mean the action hero? Well, first of all, I love Jason Bourne.
You're correct. You know, that's the right answer.
But I'm not sure, man. You can't ever go wrong with James Bond.
Daniel Craig, James Bond?
I like Sean Connery, James Bond, probably more.
He's cooler, that's
for sure.
Yeah,
he was cool.
You know who else would be in there? This would, you know, a lot of guys might not like to hear this. Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill. She beats everybody. You know, she beats all the world's greatest assassins.
I don't know about all that now.
Well, she beats them all.
I don't know about all that.
You're right about Jason Bourne, and on that we agree.
Yeah.
So last thing for you, let's just talk a little bit of football because it does say NFL on the mic flag there. What do you make of the newfangled 21st century QBs, the guys that run as well as they throw the ball, the Kaepernick?
Those guys going to get hurt.
You think so? Answer that first.
Listen, I think Steve Young said it best. The one thing you don't see is a bunch of old running quarterbacks. You see a bunch of young running quarterbacks. You got to get rid of the ball. You know, RG3 is a terrific young player, but he's already had both knees blown out. You have to understand something. All it takes is one hit, and your career or your season's over. And let me tell you something. They always catch you. They always catch you. But you got to get rid of that ball, man. You know, I look at Kaepernick, RG, Russell Wilson.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Listen, your quarterback is not going to stay healthy if he's running the football. That's just the bottom line.
So if you're running an NFL team and you have your choice, any QB, you'd go with more of the old guard. You'd go with Brady or Manning.
Oh, yeah, go with those guys. But if I had to take a young guy right now, I'd probably take Andrew Luck. You know, listen, like I say, I love all those young quarterbacks, but you got to get rid of the ball, man. I've never seen running quarterback. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see a noticeable decline on those guys next year, because what's going to happen is I take a cheap shot on those guys, even if it's part of the game, to be honest with you. Even if any time I get a free shot on those quarterbacks, I'm going to take it. Even if I get a 15-yard penalty, because I could take him out for the season or for the game. And those defenses, they're going to adjust. They're going to start taking more cheap shots. Even the quarterback, they do call that the read option. Even if the quarterback don't have the ball, I'm going to hit him. Because there is a cumulative effect on those hits.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I talked to some Ravens and Steelers who say the same thing. You pop them, it breaks their will by halftime.
Oh, yeah. But that's fair game, though. Mm-hmm. That's fair game.
All right, last thing for you is give me an NBA Finals pick for next year. I know it's a long ways away.
Well, but it's too early.
I know you don't like predictions.
No, I don't know, because I just don't know. I mean, I think some teams are going to make some more trades. You know, I got to say, I'm play. You know, Brooklyn's done a lot, going out getting KG and Paul. Obviously, Houston, I think they're going to probably do something with Asik, who wants to be traded, which I like Asik, so they can get another valuable player. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose is coming back. I think the key is Miami. I think they realize they're really pushing the envelope, playing small. And I think they're going to probably try to make a trade and get a big guy. I know Greg Oden's on their list if he can play. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with Andrew Bynum in Cleveland. I mean, I don't. The reason I don't like predictions, because last year means absolutely nothing to me. I got to see how those teams perform next year before they make an educated guess. And still, sometimes you're still wrong. But at least I want to see them. Last year, the Spurs should have won the championship. They blew Game 6. Mm-hmm. They flat out blew Game 6. But I the reason I don't like – you know, that's like football. I want to see these teams play. I'm really looking forward to seeing Peyton Manning's got Wes Welker now. I mean, that's going to be very interesting. The Broncos look strong. You got Percy Harvin in Seattle now. You know, I mean, that's going to be awesome. I think the 49ers got better. I mean, but that's last year. Last year, that has nothing to do with this year. That's what I think people don't understand. Because every year somebody comes out to woodwork. I think people are surprised that Ravens were in the Super Bowl this year. I mean, think about it. It's going to be – that's one thing I love about sports. Every year is different.
It's funny, though. NFL is up and down. NBA, you build – you know, you get into the playoffs and you advance. And it seems like, you know,
because the difference is those games are one and done. When you have to beat a team four times, all your flaws show. Like, first of all, the Ravens shouldn't have won the Super Bowl. They had that fluke play against Denver. I mean, you have to have some luck. But the Miami Heat got lucky this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Spurs definitely deserve to win that game, Game 6. They just flat out blew that game. But, like I say, that's the thing I love the most about sports. Like, every year is different. I mean, but that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, you make it fun, and you know what? So what? So I'll kiss your butt some more.
I told you.
You are many people's favorite thing about sports, even people who don't like sports I like watching it. You talk about it.
But if you kiss my butt, I have to buy you dinner afterward or something?
I'd like you to.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That sounds wonderful, Charles Barkley. All right, listen, what a pleasure. Who is your favorite broadcaster to watch since everybody pretty much universally says you're the best analyst?
I love watching McEnroe. I love watching David Faraday, Gary McCord, and Peter Costas. Any guy who makes you – see, what I try to do is I want people to laugh at different points in the game. Because it's not – I could sit there and X and O them to death, but that to me is stupid. Because like did you said earlier, there's people who don't like sports. I could talk about pick and rolls and pushing it down and high screen – like, people don't want to hear that crap. They want to, like, I try to make them laugh. And when Faraday and McCord and Costas and those guys and John, like, I watched the Wimbledon finals. Like, John McEnroe, he tells me something that I need to be serious, and then he'll say something that'll just make me laugh out loud. And guys like that, Barry Melrose to me, he's my favorite. See, he don't have to deal with these wusses in the NBA who get all sensitive. Like, Barry Melrose can say something about a hockey player and a poker player says, yeah, Barry's right. Like, When I criticize a guy, he'll call me and almost crying. Want to know why? I was like, dude, you didn't play well. But Barry Melrose to me is fantastic.
That's what I always say to our people too at the NFL Network. These guys run into each other on purpose. They're 300-pound superhuman. Some Jewish guy's going to hurt their feelings. I don't think that's a high on their list of concerns.
These guys are a little sensitive.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, they're a little sensitive.
All right. Well, you've given us something to think about.
Charles, oh, you're
Barkley.
Jewish?
That's right. You couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell. What's that? What the hell is a matzo ball?
What do you mean, what is it?
What is it?
Well, it's unleavened bread. I think the legend goes, I'm not really up on my religion, but it's something to do with Moses when he was out in Egypt in the desert with all the people, all the Jewish people that had been that had left behind the Pharaoh.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Okay, all right. Well, then they didn't have time to let the bread rise, you see. So it was unleavened. That's why it's flat like that. That's matzah.
No,
then they crush it all up.
Oh, really?
Then they roll it. I don't know what matzah meal is, but it's so you crush
it
up.
No, I've had the soup.
Right, I know, and then you make it into a ball. I don't know what's in the ball with the matzah.
Well, that's what I ask you.
But I'm trying to tell you, I don't know what binds it, but the bread, the matzah bread
is
in there.
So if matzah is a bread.
Plus, I don't know what else. Like maybe cornmeal. What am I,
can
some
you get
cook?
Me,
I don't
can
know
you
what
get
I,
me a smarter Jewish person I, who I, knows what it
that's
is?
That's fine. I'd be more than happy to. Okay. What do I
we'll
know?
Work
I
on that.
I'm also not a chef. I'm not a theologian nor a cook.
See, you're lucky. You said it right. See, if you were black, they call you a cook. White people, they call y'all a chef. I like the way.
You know what I don't like? Doctor, you know, I'll sign off on. Yes. Hey, Dr. Jones, fine. Hey, you know, I'll go so far as, it makes sense. Coach Carter, whatever. Yeah. You know where it goes too far? Is walking around when people call the chef, chef. You know? Do you know what I mean? Chef Barkley, like it's a some sort of
royal
position.
But they wouldn't call
that.
They'd say, hey, cook.
Well, you, right.
Yeah, I know.
Me. Yeah, Chef Damashek.
Yeah.
Right. Chef Damashek's our head chef. He doesn't even know how to make a matzo ball. He's fired, you know? So, all right. Well, I'm going to get you your answer.
Get my answer, man. Nice and enjoyed it very much.
I enjoyed it very much myself. The great Charles Barkley, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Look who it is here joining us here in Tahoe at the Celebrity Golf Tournament here at Edgewood Golf Course or Country Club or whatever
just
it is.
Awesome place.
Awesome. You can do as well, but not better,
no,
I think, is what you would say.
Can't do better than this.
It's Super Bowl champion. He won the ring for the first Ravens crown there way back when. It's Trent Dilfer. What have you been up to since your playing days?
Working. This real work thing is hard.
What kind of, you at a bank? Or?
Yeah, I do talk about football.
Yeah,
every
do
every once in a while. Yeah, some people listen.
I think I've caught some of your work. I'm actually a big fan of it. Before we get to that though, quickly, your thoughts, Sharknado.
Sharknado?
Yeah, did you catch Sharknado the other night on the TV?
No idea.
It's sweeping the nation. It's
really?
It was the all-time worst movie on Sci-Fi Channel. Do yourself a favor, track it down.
I absolutely will watch it. Yeah. I love horrible movies on Sci-Fi Channel.
You're big on Twitter, too. It was the biggest thing on Twitter since the Super Bowl.
I took a Twitter vacation after my Elite 11 camps, and just I've kind of gotten locked into this golf thing, so I don't embarrass myself this week.
Well, you are a QB doctor, and so I hate to tap into that, like going up to a doctor and saying, like, hey, can you look at this thing? But anyway, let's talk some QBs in 2013 and start right at the top there. Kurt Warner says that if he had to take any quarterback for this coming season, it would still be Peyton Manning. Most other people lean towards Aaron Rodgers. How say you, Trent Dilfer?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. I have a great amount of respect for Kurt, obviously. Was a great player and a great analyst. But I think not only is Aaron the best player in the game today, I think he's going to make an argument here in a few years that he's going to be one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. He has more dimensions to his game than anybody I can remember studying. He has no limitations. He carries that team. I think one of the most misunderstood things in the NFL is that the Packers roster isn't real deep. Mm-hmm. You know, he disguises a lot of flaws on that team. And I think that's ultimately, you're talking about great versus greater. I always look at who masked the most flaws on their team. And forever, Peyton, I had number one because he carried those Colts teams forever. But what Aaron's doing with Green Bay is amazing. And I think he's going to string another 5 years like he has the last five together, and we're going to be putting him in that conversation of the best of all time.
There are a lot of big arms in the league right now, obviously. Kaepernick, I guess among the youngsters, probably has the biggest arm there. A lot of the usual suspects. But does Aaron Rodgers, he puts the ball on those guys – with the greatest of ease and with more velocity, it seems, than I've talked to a lot of DBs who say the same thing, that they're surprised by how quickly the ball arrives.
Well, I think one of the reasons they're surprised is what I call LTA. It's load to arrival, and that encompasses your release and ball speed. And so much so often we go, oh, that's a fast ball, but it took the guy 90 seconds to wind it up. DBs break as soon as your hands separate from the ball. So Aaron has such a sudden release, the ball has such great energy on it, that there's less reaction time for defensive backs. I think the other thing is when you're talking about greatness, and you can't talk about all players this way, you can talk about Peyton and Tom and Aaron and Drew and a handful of others, is who makes the most difficult look the easiest. Because that's the true sign of greatness. And that's what Aaron, I think, does every week, is he does stuff that other guys, it's hard for other guys to do. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, I guess a good way of looking at it is he can do what everyone else can do. Everyone else can't do what he can do.
Yeah, I'm going to steal that. Is that right?
Feel free. I stole from Ryan Clark of the Steelers.
Perfect.
So I pass it on to you.
Perfect.
As a matter of fact, no, I came up with that.
That's our whole business right there.
That's right. Let's talk about a couple other lightning rod QBs then. First of all, Tony Romo. What do you make of – I mean, listen, his defenders will say this. People love to bash him that he's a terrible quarterback. I don't think he's a terrible – I think he's terrific. But at this point, it's no coincidence that big situations seem to bring out not exactly the greatest moments for him.
And his team. I think you have to give some of that burden to his teammates. There's been some very – some of those critical moments have been because his teammates have made some critical errors that he's tried to cover up for and made a bad play worse, which isn't acceptable. But, you know, he's trying to win games, not trying to just protect them. I'm one of the Romo's biggest apologists. I think he has a unique skill set. I think he's a true playmaker. I think he's a guy that, as I always say, takes a stinky sandwich and turns it into an ice cream cone. Now he does have some critical errors. He's also playing with a star on the side of his helmet, by the way. And what they do is tends to be a little more blown out of proportion than what other teams do. So his bad is always considered worse than it really is, and his good sometimes considered better than it really is. I usually go to their peers when I have a question about a guy. And I went to Aaron Rodgers and some of these guys and said, am I crazy to think that Tony's not one of the best players in football? And to a man, they all said no. We watch him. In the quarterback fraternity, there's a great deal of respect for Tony Romo, and they sympathize with some of the stuff he has to overcome. One of my biggest pet peeves since I started doing broadcasting is people saying the Cowboys are one of the most talented teams in football. No, they're not. They weren't. They haven't been since Troy and Emmett and Michael were there. So that's a perception thing. The reality is they're an average roster. And when you have an average roster and you have a quarterback trying to make plays, that quarterback's going to lose some games too trying to do too much. And I think that's what's happened to Tony Romo.
We have all the new era of quarterbacks, obviously. Everybody's predicting, oh, there's Andrew Luck's going to win multiple Super Bowls. RG3's going to win.
That one gets tossed around too much, multiple Super Bowls. Yeah,
yes, in a vacuum, yes. Yeah, he does look like he's good enough, but they only give out one Lombardi a season.
Yes.
So that begs the question, with these guys on the rise, tell me, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tony Romo, do any of those guys win a Lombardi again?
That's a great question. I don't think Brady or Manning do. I don't think their teams are good enough. I don't think the AFC is good enough in general. I think Baltimore was a little bit of an aberration last year. That's good. I don't know if I have an answer for that one. I think it's going to be fascinating to see if it stays quarterback dominant or if with this zone read element coming into the NFL that power football takes over again. Because one of the things about the zone read, it's a power run now. You are caving in one side of the line of scrimmage because you're not having to block a guy. So you can have 5-10 more runs a game, and you may not need a quarterback dominant team. You just may need a Kaepernick or a Russell Wilson or an RG3, a guy that makes splash plays down the field but that can also beat you with his legs. So if you're asked me, put a gun to my head and said, who's going to win the Super Bowl or win multiple, I'd go with the San Francisco 49ers. Just on the depth of the roster, their management, the depth of their coaching staff, I think the quarterback's dynamic. He's going to get a lot of yards, both with his arm and his legs, and he doesn't get hit. It's like, just real quick, all you people out there say, well, he's going to get hit. I watched every snap that he's played. He never gets hit. He has a unique ability to slide away from guys, to step away, to get down. I think I counted 6 times he got hit last year running the ball, so he's not going to get hit a whole lot.
All right, I don't want to hold you up any further here, But will the defenses solve the spread option? That was all we heard in November and December. Rate, yeah. Was, oh, they'll take it away and they'll figure it out on tape.
I've been saying forever, no, they won't. It's math. It's basic math. It's addition and geometry. It's addition in the sense that you have numbers advantage at the point of attack because you're not blocking a guy. And it's geometry because you have angles at the point of attack. And without getting too football geeky, offensive staff spend hours and hours trying to find ways to get angles in the run game. This gives you angles every single play and extra people. It's not going away.
Boy, you make me feel smart because everything you just said, I've been saying in broad terms.
Well, I've been reading your stuff and regurgitating it.
Thank you, Dilfer. Thank you. That means the world to me. Last thing, because producer Black Tie back there will be upset if I don't ask it to you. Who throws the sexiest deep ball?
RG3. I think RG3 is one of the best deep ball throws. When I did his college tape, his Baylor deep ball film is a clinic. It's teaching tape. And he continued his rookie year with the Redskins. He has like four different ways he throws it, and it is majestic.
All right.
And I feel a little weird saying that
ESPN
word, majestic.
ESPN stands for what?
ESPN?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just worked there. All right. The great Trent Dilfer. Enjoy yourself out on the links there, and thanks for the time, fella.
Thank you.
And look who it is. The man on the mic for very many football games and baseball games, too. Joe Buck. What's happening, fella?
Nothing, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. It's an Indiana University reunion right here in Lake Tahoe.
And you can see the excitement.
Look at it.
Three people wandering
by. Shrugged over there.
Yeah, they did. It's fun. You know, you walk in with Larry the Cable Guy, and he gets a crowd like the Pope's in town. And I just walk right in.
It lets you know where you stand.
It really does. Yes. There's Larry the Cable Guy on the grand totem pole, and I'm down holding it up.
Well, I apologize. It's not because we're both Hoosiers that my face is red. It's the sun. It didn't agree with me.
No,
see?
I know.
I don't know what happened.
I played golf all day, and I didn't put any sunblock on, so maybe I have a death wish, but I'm kind of letting it ride right now.
We have much to discuss. I won't take up too much of your time. First of all, Sharknado, your thoughts.
You know, I thank God for Rich Eisen and his Twitter feed, because had it not been for that, I would not know what the hell that is. I don't get it. Is like some campy, weird movie or something?
Yeah, well, do you like, are you a fan of, let's say, Roadhouse or Red Dawn?
Sure,
Can you enjoy those ironically?
Absolutely.
Then you would enjoy Sharknado.
Okay.
Yes.
Because is it meant to be that, or is it just awful?
That's the trick. Is if somebody makes it with a wink, then it's not cool. If it's made earnestly and it turns out to be the train wreck that Sharknado is and was, then it's hilarious.
So it's like sharks, because of a massive ocean upheaval?
It's pretty much all in the title.
It's a
sharks in a tornado.
Okay.
And then Ian Ziering, of course, of 90210 fame, as if I have to tell you.
Right, no.
Is the hero, and he kills these sharks in all manner of ways. Limited only by his own imagination, which apparently is boundless.
Do the sharks ever die from just sheer good looks?
You know, it's an interesting point, yeah. And you know, I don't know if sharks, have that same sort of thing.
Because they have a film over their eyes, so they're not really seeing Ian Ziering the way we see Ian Ziering.
I've said it of myself, but I think it probably applies to Ziering as well. You know how Medusa, when men look at her, they turn to stone. When women look at Damashek and Ziering, they turn to mush.
I've read that.
Have you?
I've read that. And I enjoyed your quick turn on 90210.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good.
All right, listen. One thing I have to say to you is I absolutely loved, as I think all of all sports fans did, your call last year in the World Series, we'll see you tomorrow night, really one of, I think that goes down as one of the 5 or 10 or whatever great calls in at least baseball history, if not sports history. That was wonderful.
Well,
stuff.
It was kind of a ripoff. I mean, my dad had done it 20 years earlier. It was just nothing but pure plagiarism. So I said to people afterward, I'm not going to become a Jack Buck cover band and just start doing his calls go crazy, folks, or I don't believe what I just saw. I think I'm going to retire on that one as being just the total ripoff and embrace it and move on in life.
It is interesting. Yeah, if you ever do another one, people will be like, all right, Buck,
enough.
You did it once. It was cute. Now,
quit writing. I mean, the only reason why I got into this business was nepotism and, you know, riding on coattails. Now I'm actually using his calls.
I
should start wearing his clothes.
That would be really weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
And we're not the same size, so it would be uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. To boot, yeah, it would limit your golfing ability and beyond.
It would. Maybe tighten my game up out
but
here.
It's been loved loose. It. But you know what I loved also about your old man? I loved listening to him. Everybody obviously associates him with baseball for obvious reasons. I remember on long drive, in fact, in college, driving during Christmas break time, I would catch him calling the NFL playoffs, and I thought he was wonderful.
I got to tell
radio.
You, I mean, it's I'm the most biased person you could talk to about it, but I think radio football is the hardest sport to call on radio because obviously you're not seeing it, and you have to set the ball constantly where it is. So that adds to what I have to do, which we take for granted. People see you're outside the 40 or wherever it may be. He did the call of the Dwight Clark touchdown catch against the Cowboys.
That's right, yep.
And he is doing the play-by-play, and Pat Summerall's doing the color. And NFL Network runs it all the time. And it's as good a listen and as good a job as I've ever heard anybody do calling football on the radio.
Summerall doing the color.
Yeah,
wow,
and they were together for a long while. They used to do the Cowboys years ago. They split them up. CBS split them up because their voices were so similar, people couldn't tell them apart.
Hmm.
And so, actually, my dad was the guy who broke John Madden in. He was Madden's first TV partner.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah. So he joined up with Pat. And,
right, because Tom Brookshire's with Summerall
exactly.
at the beginning. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl approaching. Well, let's start at the end of the season here. You'll be there with Fox calling things from New Jersey. Might be snowy. That's the buzz. Everybody's
right. God, wouldn't that be
scared.
Crazy?
I'd love
a
it.
A football enough. Game with snow?
Listen, I don't understand this thing. I talk to every football player, by the way. I say to every NFC North guy, let's rip the domes off all those joints at least. Just in the North, at least. We'll start there, and then we'll see how it goes.
I'm with you.
But none of them want it. They like playing indoors and
all people
control.
Really care about when they're moaning and groaning about an outdoor, cold weather Super Bowl, they're thinking about the parties.
And, that's true.
And it's that's ridiculous. I mean, to me, especially being the one, you know, with Troy calling this game, I could care less about the party. So to be in New Jersey, I hope it's snowing like crazy.
Could continue. Yes.
No, that's it. There's nothing wrong with football in the elements.
No.
And I'm in. If
why
it's
does
snowing.
Every team? Why it, you know, it obviously ultimately favors all the teams that play in domes or play in the South.
It's
a huge
advantage.
Bears, Steelers, all these teams, aren't they at a disadvantage when they have to go play in the sun against the Cowboys
or in a climate controlled dome? I'm with you. So let's spread it around.
You mentioned Aikman. What does that mean? You say because you're going to be with Aikman, you don't care about the parties.
Well, I mean, I'm throwing him in because he and I are doing the game. So as you get closer to the Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, that's when all the good parties are because that's when the majority of the people are in. So Playboy party, Maxim party, those are out for me.
I don't get invited to those.
Well, I don't either, typically, but I can ride in on somebody else's, coattail there. And then
I'm with the Hall of Famer.
We'll see you tomorrow night. Yeah. I just say that. They're like, what? Okay, yeah, we will see you tomorrow night. You just go right down the block.
Who wins in a fight, Troy Aikman versus Tim McCarver? Fist fight.
Well, fist fight, I would say Troy, just because of his sheer strength. And he's probably in better shape now than he was when he was playing. But I wouldn't count Tim out, and I say that because he's a cagey veteran.
Yeah.
And if you had like a steel cage match, and you were able to involve like foreign objects, I think Tim would come up with something that would maybe snap Aikman's Achilles heel
I could see that. Aikman is the golden boy.
Yeah.
He plays by the rules. He had everything handed
to him on a platter. You know, McCarver was a catcher. He was a tough guy. I mean. Yeah, challenge him, and he'll come at you with claws. He may not win, but he's not going to go down easy.
We've been talking a little bit about action heroes. What if, and we can throw Ziering into the mix, but you didn't see it, so that wouldn't be fair. Action heroes, this exempts this. This we're not talking superheroes, no superpowers. All the action heroes in history get in a fight. Who wins that one?
All the action heroes? Swayze.
You think so? From Roadhouse.
I think Swayze from Roadhouse because of the dancing abilities.
Ooh.
I think if you're in trouble and somebody's got you pinned, being able to dance like that man could dance
hypnotizes you only for a half second. That's all he'll need.
It's all
he can take your throat.
The whole Point Break stuff. I mean, if you come out of that film going, you know, this guy's easy to take, I don't think you're being honest with yourself.
All right, this Super Bowl, what is the ideal matchup? And I don't care about ratings, the biggest markets. What is the most compelling for football fans? What do you think is the best? I've thought this through. I have 8 or 10 options. But what number one matchup we could see?
Well, I have not thought this through. So
how could that be?
We got a long way to go,
I guess,
man.
All right.
I would go with – I love watching Green Bay. I like watching the Green Bay Packers play. I think the – country likes watching the Green Bay Packers play. Can I give you two?
Sure.
I mean, I think people want to see the Dallas Cowboys. I think people want to see Tony Romo on the biggest stage and how he would do with that. I tend to think that if they give him an offensive line, they're as good as anybody in the NFC. But I would say one of those two teams.
That's kind of a cool one. I thought about this. What if the Patriots and Niners played? Then whoever loses, it would be exciting for whoever wins, but whoever loses would be a devastation that you can't imagine. Imagine
right.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have lost, you know, how many big games now over the last 8 years and have been to so many Super Bowls. If they lost another one, that would really be painful. On the other hand, Harbaugh and company lose the title game, then
Harbaugh
lose the Super Bowl, they win another Super Bowl.
Harbaugh scares me. You know, just when you sit down at across a table from Harbaugh and you feel like he's one wrong sentence away from coming across the table at you. He's got something in his eyes that just says, I'm not right.
You know what? I know for a fact that you're right because I asked him on media day, like a goof as most people do there on the media day, I asked him what a 49er was. And he was a deer in the headlights for a moment. Then his eyes turned to, how dare you? I'm going to murder you.
Right.
And then he got the answer just before he did vault across that
table. It's like a miner guy, right? Like a gold panner guy?
Yeah, 1849, the gold rush, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, Joe Buck.
Yeah, thanks.
Good for you.
Thanks. I set myself up for failure, and I came through.
No, yeah, I know. You didn't even have to take that shot.
No,
I did.
And
I respect it.
That's all right.
All right, last thing.
Yes?
How much do you, St. Louis Cardinals, wonk, how much do you fear the emergence of the Pittsburgh Pirates?
I think they're
NL
good.
Central, look out.
Well... since you're probably the only person that could potentially watch this who cares about this answer, I will say how much do I'm deathly afraid. I think it may change the spin of the earth if somehow the Pittsburgh Pirates gather it all together and for the first time since 1992 march into the postseason and they do it at PNC Park where all the world will gather and see just how great of a city Pittsburgh is, which it is a very great city that's very underrated. Be great, whatever, awesome.
On behalf of all the people who were born and raised on the banks of the Three Rivers, I thank you.
Say it like a Pittsburghian,
dude. Joe Buck, that dude. You ever hear that Joe Buck? I like the way he talks, dude. He talks. He called that game with Roethlisberger, dude. Roethlisberger, when he gets running around, Joe Buck's like, yo, dude, check it out. Hey, Troy Aikman, you never did nothing like Roethlisberger, dude. He just gets out there. He wings it, dude. He throws the touchdowns. That's all. He doesn't need to know no playbooks or nothing.
That's
Joe
really
Buck,
good.
Joe Buck, we'll see you in October.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
In fact,
night.
We'll see you in September.
We'll see you tomorrow
talking
night
about
as
football.
Well.
Yes. All right, we'll see you tomorrow
I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. Do you have a sign-off for this?
I'm a little bit worried.
This is Dave Damashek. And I'm
on sports.
Nice.
Right now, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, John Fox. How are you, fella?
Doing good, Dave. Appreciate you having me on.
What a pleasure to see you here. Why the Ravens colors, though?
That's not intentional. That's just what I had in my suitcase.
All right. Yes, fashion before loyalty to team, I suppose. Right.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about as you move into 2013 here. We're hearing a lot of stuff about how Peyton's spinning the ball. He looks better than he looked even last year. What do you say now, Wes Welker, another weapon? How's the offense looking here?
Yeah, well, they look tremendous all offseason. You know, I think, they gave our defense fits. And, Peyton's a year better, you know, both from the rehab standpoint as well as the comfort zone area. He's had a tremendous offseason. He looks real strong and he looks way more comfortable.
How often does Elway, in quiet moments, does Elway say to you, when he's being really honest, does he ever say to you, Man, how come Peyton Manning gets to play with Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, now Welker, got to play with Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Marshall Faulk? Those guys were all better than even the best receiver I ever had, ever come up.
No. He had a great supporting cast. They won back-to-back Super Bowls, and that doesn't get done every day. So John doesn't bring that up much, other than he wants to get back to that greatness.
How would your Super Bowl Carolina Panther team do against the 2013 Denver Broncos?
That's hard to compare. I don't like comparing whether it's players or teams. But, we've got a good football team. There's a lot of good football teams out there. And, whoever executes the best is going to win. And that all starts next Thursday for us.
Well, yeah, everybody's excited for that. Who, though, when you're laying awake at night, who is, when you take Denver out of the equation, scariest AFC team you see?
I don't think he's scared of anybody, but, we open up with the defending world champs, the Baltimore Ravens, and, New England's always salty. I'm going to miss somebody, I'm sure. But, there's a lot of competent football teams, whether you're talking about the AFC or the NFC, and we have to compete, against both conferences throughout the season. So, again, we'll take them one at a time. I know it's cliche, but it works, and we'll see what happens at the end.
Looking forward at all to, I suppose not looking forward to, but what do you anticipate, I guess, out of Andy Reid's Chiefs there? Obviously a lot of talent there. Do you expect a big turnaround for that team in terms of record?
Well, I think, our division's going to improve quite a bit. I mean, 2 years ago they were talking about the NFC West like it wasn't very strong, and now it might be one of the stronger divisions in football. So, that thing changes year to year, everywhere. And I know I have great respect for what Andy has done in his career, and I know he'll make them better.
What do you think about now that Denver wears the Navy hats with the orange jerseys now? In the history of the Denver Broncos, though, they've had many uniforms. Best one, John Fox.
Well, I like our current one. I'm a little prejudiced, but, I don't think it's all about the uniform. It's all about those guys inside of it.
I like the uniforms. And you know what else I like? I like when they wore the brown and the vertical striped socks.
I thought they were awful, but that's okay. That's just me.
You're in the majority. You're in the majority with that one. All right, Coach, listen, I appreciate the time. Best wishes to you in 2013. A lot of people excited about you guys, and looking forward to seeing how you guys do as we head into the season here.
Great spending time with
Thanks,
you, Dave.
Man.
Appreciate it.
And go Pitt, right?
Yes.
Let's
come
get
on,
that
Panthers.
Pitt team turned around already.
Yeah, let's do
Send
it.
You back up there.
No, I like where I'm at.
Look who we have here. What football team do you play for?
I don't. Can you tell?
Oh, no, yeah, you're nice and you're lean. Oh, yeah, you're a punter. I see. No, wait a second. I remember watching you this past spring in the NBA
round
playoffs.
Round ball.
It's Steph Curry. Uh-oh. Sure. This is interesting. Maybe on the face of the big blue marble, maybe the two best shooters that there are. Well, you're regarded as maybe the best shooter in the land, maybe of all time,
We'll see. I'm on a good pace, trying to catch Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, but long way to go. I just finished my fourth year.
If you and I ever played horse? Who knows what?
No, you don't want to do that.
Really?
I don't think so. In the summertime, I still got my touch.
Here's a big philosophical question. When you play horse, I don't like when people do all the trick shot nonsense, right. Like the behind the back. That's not, that's Huey and Applesauce. Who can make it? I take them to the free throw line.
I'm the big fundamental. So we have the same kind of approach
to
horse games, either off the glass, all around the court, free throw line. Sometimes you just trick them with a nice, easy layup. They get all flustered. So I'm with you.
All right. Well, listen. Let's see how good you are at golf.
All right.
Okay, make your shot. Let's see what kind of jumper you got here. Whoa.
I mean.
That was pretty good.
That was my left, too.
That was
awesome. You might have helped me a little, but that was smooth.
Did I? Maybe I did. I was
that
trying
was
to be
smooth.
A good host.
This which is right. Which over the top?
All right, you helped me, too.
There we go.
You're a nice fellow, Steph Curry. All right, let's talk about pro football, then. You're in, you're born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, yes?
Yes, sir. Born in Akron, Ohio, but since I was one. So I claim Charlotte pretty much.
I see. This, then, I assume, makes you a Panthers fan.
Of course.
Yeah.
Huge Panther fan ever since. They started playing down in Clemson when they first became an organization. So, diehard, rep them wherever I am across the country. So,
all right, if you're a diehard, then it probably won't be that hard for you. Nobody thinks people think that Cam Newton and company are getting better. But in that division, with the Saints with something to prove, the Falcons one of the juggernauts, the Buccaneers look pretty good. Make a case for the Panthers in 2013.
Yeah, I think our offense has always been there the last, 3 years? Just the defense. trying to bolster that up. We had some great draft picks, with Luke Kuechly last year, and trying to, get better on that side of the ball. But I played golf with Coach Rivera 2 weeks ago, and he's excited. He had a look in his eye like they're going to be good this year, so that's what I expect.
Now, what about your guys? Golden State Warriors, first of all. Is Golden State the coolest name for a team? That's pretty good.
It is. I think every other team name is a city, right?
Almost. I mean, you have England Patriots, which is a region.
Well, basketball, I guess you could say there's Indiana is just the only state, I guess. Indiana, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all city names. So Golden State has a little flair to it.
It's a region, yeah. A couple of things. Let's talk about those NBA names, in fact. I say that the Clippers, dawn of a new day, all this and that, I think they should not be the L.A. Clippers anymore. Wash off the stink of the past for them. Instead, become the Hollywood Knights. How say you? The Knights with a K.
With a K.
You know?
I like that. I was a Charlotte Christian Knight in high school, so Knights kind of sparks up a little mojo
cool?
in me. I like that.
Yeah?
They have they're a show on the court, so Hollywood kind of goes for them.
Yeah, and then it separates them from the Lakers, right?
And yeah, and the terrible history of their past organization.
That's what
so
else
I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
Change color scheme, everything.
A lot of teams do that to move into new eras.
That's
so,
right. Yeah. What about are you as bothered as I am by teams that have a singular nickname not ending in S?
Magic, Jazz.
It's confusing grammatically. You know what I mean?
Like,
the Orlando Magic is playing well. No, they are playing well, you know?
If you go that deep, that definitely confuses me. Now I don't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. The Heat.
All right, then we can just move on. Did you see Sharknado?
I did not.
You didn't watch Sharknado?
No, I saw on Twitter all the commotion about it. I did not see it, though. Was it good?
Boy, you got a full life, man. You got to catch up on that
Sharknado.
Your life is not complete until you watch
I haven't
the magic
seen it. That
of Sharknado.
Give me something to do this afternoon while
Perfect.
I wind down.
Last couple things for you. Let's talk about your Warriors. There was some buzz that maybe Dwight Howard was going to wind up there. You still, though, look loaded. Andre Iguodala in the ever-rugged West. What do you think now? Because there really seems like a shift in power. The Lakers aren't going to be abysmal, but they're certainly not going to be one of the favorites to get there. There's an opportunity, right?
It's crazy. We were the last California team standing last year. So a lot of things are changing. The West is getting stronger. I think we got stronger. We got Andre Iguodala off the free agent market. So we made some moves, but hopefully we can ride that momentum of the playoffs this past year and get back to that stage next year.
Who would win in a game of horse, or has there already been one between you and Klay Thompson?
There has been plenty, and it's about 50-50 right now. He's a great shooter. I'd like to say I'm the better shooter because I have that kind of confidence in myself. I'm sure if he was sitting in his chair, you asked him, he'd say he was. And we like that kind of competition between us because we're going to be playing together for a long time.
It's got to be a three-man competition going forward because Damashek's throwing his hat into the ring.
Come on out to Golden State and we can
All right,
make
I'll come up there. That seems like a challenge. Challenge accepted.
Make it happen.
All right, the Bay Area has – arguably the best uniforms in all of sports. Okay. You think about that. The Raiders, the Niners, the Giants look great, the Athletics dynamite, the Warriors, the great royal blue and gold. Best of them all.
Best of them all. I'm going to say us. We had some alternates too. We could throw in.
Yeah.
We wore the sleeves this year. See that?
Do you mind me telling you something?
Okay, I know where you're going to go with this. Now, we've made some addition, some edits to it for next year. It's not going to be that yellow, but I like the sleeves and maybe go with just simple white, simple blue, royal blue, and keep it fashionable.
Yeah,
the yellow was a little off. I like the idea though.
I mean, we part ways on that, Steph Curry.
We look like a volleyball team out there.
You know what? Yeah, I just don't care for it, fella. I don't want to jive you. You know, it's not a thing for me. But you know what else it does, though? It reminds me of when college basketball first instituted the three-point stripe. Okay. All the shooters, all the catch-and-shoot guys all wore T-shirts under their thing. It harkens that for me, like Harold Jensen of Villanova,
yeah,
all those kind of guys.
Kerry Kittles.
Yeah.
High socks with the sleeves.
That was a strong look.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Steph Curry, you're a delight. We look forward to watching one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. Keep on going deeper into the playoffs. America likes seeing you beat the Lakers and the Spurs. Those stories are yesterday. You're the story of tomorrow.
We'll make it happen.
All right.
Appreciate you
good
having
good luck,
me on.
And congratulations on the Tiger Woods
like
ensemble
that?
Here. Yeah, very smart.
Thought it came best dressed of the day, right?
Yeah, yeah, I can't argue with that. Certainly better than Jim McMahon.
I haven't seen it. But...
Oof. Keep your eyes open. Put sunglasses on before you look at him. All right. Steph Curry. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. It's been a gay old time up here from Lake Tahoe. Make sure you check out all the action this weekend. It'll be on your television. I'm going to watch some of it. And then we'll be back later on for you next week. We'll kibitz. We'll get back. You know what? Football's just about here, Black Tie. In fact, it is here if you count when teams report to training camp as the start of things. I don't. Because I'm ready for it now, and if I focus too much on it's here, then it's going to be anticlimactic. It's going to take forever to regular season. I'm just going to try and not get excited for a little while yet.
The rule is never get excited for preseason because you can't help but get excited. But when the first preseason game starts, you're like, this is terrible. This is preseason.
It is. You get excited. You always get sucked into it. And then you watch two plays, and then you say, that's it. I'll see you. I'll maybe watch the last preseason game and then regular season. But maybe we shouldn't say that on NFL airwaves because we should be pushing.
I got to be honest, Jack. I got to be honest. I'm sorry.
No jive. That's our one rule on the podcast. We didn't get much jive talk out of the bounty of guests we had. Great work from you, Black Tie. Great work from Stacy Garcia. On wrangling some of those guys, good times with
definitely
Anthony
shout
Smith,
out Stacy Garcia,
who also Anthony Smith also helped us wrangle guys from the network. What a pleasure to get to spend time with Christina from and be on the lookout for her work with the Fan Pass stuff.
Christina Poncho on Fan Pass, produced by John Smith. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for all of it. And like I say, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce. What?
We also have a photo guy. He was great. He was taking a lot of great shots.
What's
you
his
see
name?
That on the blog.
What's his name?
Nick Lucero.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to get that one right, Black Tie.
I know my crew. I'm not you, Shaq. I know who I'm with.
You're saying that to me?
I know who I'm with. I know who I'm rolling with.
I'm a man of the people. I know everybody. Now listen, and they know me. You know, that's what I do, Black Tie. That's the lesson in broadcasting. You heard Joe Buck. He talks something. He learned from his old man. Now I want you to learn from me. Here's what I do on each and every show. I like to do figuratively. Once in a while, literally, but mostly figuratively. I unbuckle my belt. I unzip my fly. I drop my pants, and I stand nude for the world. You see, I have nothing to hide. That's the way I operate in real life, too. So think about that.
And with that...
All right, please. Enough. You don't need to wrap up the show. With that being said, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of hell.